about that. Well, always a
That's
little
all right.
technical glitch. So hey.
That's fine. So yeah, just turning my screen down, so because I keep getting notifications, it's like distracting. So there
Sure.
we go.
Sure.
Yeah, so I actually was really excited that you were reaching out to alumni because I've actually been wanting to kind of talk to, I don't know, get back in touch with Berkeley and sort of hear if every, if other people were going through this kind of thing. And then, so I don't know, I know you have certain questions you're going to ask, but yeah, I'm ready when you are.
Okay, sure. And I trust you probably saw that website, otherberkeleygrads.com, which then bounces you to another URL.
BerkeleyGrads.com. Oh, to go visit other videos.
Yeah. That has
Yeah.
like all the index of all the other interviews that have been done.
Yeah, and so there's our only. It's the criteria is the same for everyone, right? There are people that are doing non-music related jobs, right? Careers.
Non-music related jobs. They have to like what they do, be making at least 45,000 a year, graduate Berkeley within the last decade. So,
Okay.
and
Cool.
there's, I think you're my 62nd or 63rd interview.
Okay.
So,
Wow.
there are a lot of,
Can
well.
I ask what this is? Is this what this is really ultimately for the students that are coming in, or is it?
I would
I'm
say.
just curious.
I'm building this thing. It's definitely very multi-purpose. So I'll give you, consider this the pre-interview briefing. So, in other words, one thing that I'm doing is I'm building this library. And one thought is that people who have finished Berkeley, and maybe they've been, trying to find a job in music, it's just not really working out. They have that ability now to look at, like, okay, here are a bunch of other careers, and here's some careers which Berkeley people have done. And I figure it might be more helpful for them to be able to really hear the story of, another Berkeley graduate who's gone and become a web developer, as opposed to just some random person who went to some random college. You know what I mean? So I'm with their experience. So it is meant as a resource for alumni as well as for, let's say, people in their last year at Berkeley, where it's a minority, but I've definitely spoken to people who, even as they're leaving Berkeley, they get the sense that the music industry isn't for them. Now it's all, I mean, I'm not sure how much somebody who is in their first year at Berkeley is going to be using the website, but I do feel like it's something which Berkeley can use as they advertise the school, and perhaps reassuring to the parents that, right, look at all these people where, sure, even if you don't make it in the music industry, people are doing all sorts of great stuff with their Berkeley degrees. So,
Yeah, that's
that's one
great.
angle, and then I'll say that I am, of course, a professor, and we're all expected to do some amount of, well, they call it service to the profession, but for us liberal arts people, it often takes the form of research. This is mine. And I'll be emailing everybody I put together and gave a big presentation as to, like, what Berkeley is and isn't doing well for people that I gave in January. I'm doing a special presentation for the music business department next week. So, and I'm starting to see, let's say, some patterns of the paths which people have taken, what got them into music. Was their music, the people who worked in music, was their music job relevant to what they then branched off, or did they do a full reboot? And I feel like, we're getting some information which may well prove useful.
No, this is great. I mean, one of my friends who's a Berkeley grad, he lives in LA now, and I don't know if you spoke to him, but he's also in web developing and taught himself how to program, and he's gotten this great job here, and now he's moving to New York and he's going to pursue it there, and he still writes and all that, but I don't know, maybe
What's his name?
Jamie Feltz.
Jane Phelps. Cool. I don't think I've interviewed him.
Yeah. Yeah, I would reach out to him. I don't know if
That's
he's on
fun.
LinkedIn, but
Well, for what it's
yeah.
worth, as you know, you get a $60 Amazon gift card for doing these interviews. If you refer somebody and they end up doing an interview, you get another 30.
Oh, that's nice.
So
Hey.
we get it. We can just do that officially. We can deal with that afterwards. Do you have any other questions about anything?
No, I'm ready. I'm just curious to hear what you have to ask, and yeah.
Okay. All right. So we'll get started then.
Okay.
And let's start with your year of graduation, including if it was spring, fall, or summer, and your major.
Okay, I graduated summer of 2010, and I was a CWP major. I think the name has changed now, but
No, it's still
contemporary.
CWP.
Oh, okay.
Cool. And then, what was your principal instrument?
Voice.
Nice.
Yeah.
So.
But I do play piano and guitar, and I came in there having piano background and guitar. And
Gotcha.
yeah, my yeah.
Very nice. Okay, well, hey, we'll get to your history later. But for
Okay.
now, tell us about your current job. What do you do? Where do you do it?
Basically, I've been freelance ever since I graduated college at Berkeley. And now I'm living in LA. I've been here for about over 2 years, and I work in film, primarily commercial production. And I do a couple different roles within that field, but I mostly do food styling, which is a new, it's an art in itself
Hold it.
that
Did,
I've
I
learned.
may have misheard you. Did you say food styling?
That's correct, yes.
You mean like bananas and bread and all that stuff?
Yeah, or like McDonald's commercials making the burger look perfect.
Oh,
Or
okay.
yeah, or like food for magazines, cookbooks. So that's one thing I almost feel like I went to another school because when I graduated Berkeley, I got into film and as a production assistant, and I started working with food stylists there, just as a runner, and I
Gotcha.
realized like I love cooking, so I do food styling now, and I also do coordinating and producing on commercials. So, and it's a by project basis, so sometimes it's a week long job or 2 weeks, but it's a full time. There's always a something coming up. I'll have maybe 2 days off in the week, or I'll work through a weekend. So it's kind
Sure.
of like. But it's exciting. I meet new people on every job, and it's fun when you get called back with the same team and you feel like you're building a name for yourself.
Well,
And
yeah, I
yeah.
was going to ask in terms of as a freelancer, that's a very brave thing to do and not something that everybody's cut out for. How do you, these days, I'm sure it was different in the beginning, but again, we'll get to your history later.
Okay.
How do you get gigs? How do you get these jobs?
I would say I know it's a we're not going to talk about history, but I would say it's just about getting out there at all. Like when I first moved to LA 2 years ago, I took a catering job and it wasn't what I wanted to do, and I was getting paid like the lowest I've gotten paid ever. And it was far drive from my house, but it was just being out there. So I went out there and I started networking. I talked to people, told them what my background was in terms of food styling and commercial production. And then I just a week later I got called to do an Apple job and as a production coordinator in a motion graphics for post-production, which I'd never done in my life.
Hold it,
But
Apple meaning the edible apples or the Apple
no,
computer?
computers.
All right, the
Yeah.
food
Yeah,
stylist thing. I
I know,
normally wouldn't ask that.
it's so confusing. I know. I do. It's confusing. And so, that kind of thing. And then they referred me to another job in LA. I went to the Cupertino headquarters for Apple and I did the release video for the iPhone 6 and the Apple Watch that just came out. And it was all very new. And it's just, I think it's just a matter of being open and flexible. And you're also, when I think anyone, when you're in a new place and you're just fresh off the boat, so to speak, you're so, you have a glow about you and you kind of are fearless, or at least I felt that way. So I was just like, yes, I'll say yes to anything. I think that's kind of how, musicians have to be too. So I kind of, in a sense, like, if someone asked me, like, what would I say what I learned at Berkeley I'm applying is like, the networking and just saying yes and being open and you know, so yeah.
Great. So you're again, in terms of what you're doing, so it sounds like you're well enough known now that places reach out to you.
They do, yeah. And I was afraid in the beginning that I was gonna not be known for so long, you know, but yeah, it's like hitting the pavement kind of, and even, you know, emailing constantly, calling people, selling myself as a food stylist assistant, you know, starting,
So I
you
was going to
know.
ask, so you do spend some amount of time like reaching out to potential clients.
Yes, and a lot of times I wouldn't hear back, you know, and have to keep, you know, hoping for the best and saying, okay, I'll try in 2 weeks again, you know, not to annoy them and, you know, not be too eager. And then, yeah, now there's enough seeds, I guess, that I've planted that they've all kind of started to grow a little bit, over time. And then people, it's word of mouth, I would say, really, at the end of the day.
Yeah, so that's great. And in terms of freelancing, can I ask the structure that you bill people by? Is it by the project, by the hour?
It depends. Luckily, in commercial production, the jobs I've been in as a coordinator, mostly doing the office kind of work, that's always on a time card. So I get unemployment insurance. If the project ends, I get to, you know, I can, I get the, if I have a week or two off, I'm getting at least unemployment, like legally, because we are on W-2s.
I see.
But when I'm freelance, like doing, 1099 jobs, whether it's I've done a little session work, but at sessions or food styling, if they don't want to put me on a time card, I do invoice, and then you know, I've created a business name for my food styling, and I don't have a business license or anything, but it's so I but you know, come tax time, which is now, I'm, you know, got to be very organized and kind of, you know, I've worked for 20 different employers in the last year, so over 20.
Well,
So I have
what is
to.
the name, by the way, of your food style?
It's just Chloe Bean Food Styling, and I have a website for it, and people, I've gotten work from that. You know, it's a great, like I've got a reel, a demo of my commercials I've done up there, and I have a little biography, and so that's a you know, something I've worked on too, to keep my business going.
Yeah, so in fact, like I was going to ask, on average in a given week, how many hours a week would you say you're working, and then how many billable hours? Because I know they're not
Yeah.
necessarily the same thing.
Well, every week is just so you know, unpredictable. Like for example, I was actually, as they say, on hold for a job for tomorrow. They couldn't book me. They're like, just for tomorrow, please hold that day. If someone else calls you, call us first, you know, and they put me on hold, and they said, oh, the agency can't afford you. We got to take you off. And then, oh, actually the next day, you know, can you hold again? So just now they said, oh, we can't have you in tomorrow. So I would say that was like 3 days of work, just kind of coordinating with them. But actual weeks, I mean, they, like this week, I'm still holding for a job for Friday for a Subway commercial. I'm not sure I'll do it or not. So every week is, you know, just so unpredictable, which can be a little stressful. But in a way, I feel like it's also teaching me to live in the moment, you know, because really, you know, gotta just take day by day, and you know, making plans to do things like try to have a gig, or you know, schedule a day where I meet a friend, or you know, it's kind of, I have to work with flexible people on that end as well. My friends, you know, they understand, but so you know, it's kind of always kind of living on the fly, I guess. But you know, at the end of the day, I do have control. If I want to really take a day off, I just say I'm not available, you know. So it, you know, I have unlimited vacation days. I just don't get paid for them.
Makes complete sense. Hey,
Yeah.
if we could zoom in now, and I'm sure, as you
Yeah.
say, the days really vary. And by the way, so you said you do the food
I do food
modeling,
styling.
and then you do, it's like, you said it's more the administrative end of production.
Yeah, the coordinating, if you will, like kind of assisting the producer on the day-to-day of stuff, starting from the preparation of the project, you know, hiring crew, to the point where we wrap it and then send it to the post-production people.
Hey, would you mind for ideally each of those?
Yeah.
I'm sure the days vary a lot, but if you
They
think
do.
that something closest to the typical day, we kind of zoom in and maybe we'll start with the production
Yeah.
part. Could
So,
I
okay.
just ask, actually, before we get there, could I just ask really quickly,
Yeah.
very crude back of the envelope estimate, like what fraction of your income would you say comes from the food styling as opposed to the production?
I would say last year I only did food styling. So that was 100%. I made over 40, 45. And then, but I felt like I could see the industry kind of changing in a sense. So, I wanted to gain new skills and be able to be more flexible in the long term. So I'd say, so coordinating, I would say now that I've been doing that, it's more 50-50.
Okay. Cool. Just wanted to make sure, like, that they were both a substantial piece.
Oh yeah, they're both, yeah.
Sometimes people talk about the two things they do, and one of them's 97% of the money they make.
Yeah, exactly. Well, like that's for me, music is like I'm, 1% of my income, but I don't even count that. So, yeah.
Right. Sure. Okay. So, all right. So yeah. So maybe we'll start with the production. Like, what's a typical day look like for you?
Okay, and Kevin, I hear a little bit. I don't know if the microphone's moving, but I hear some sort of.
There's a little bit of static there, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Just want to let you know. I don't know if it's on my end or what. So a typical day, for production, I guess, is in the office would be, show up at 8 a.m. or 9 a.m. around there. We have some coffee, kind of talk about what the project's going to be. Then we handle time cards. We get time cards ready for the crew. We start booking, crew, and then get a pre-production book ready for the agency that's coming in. So we handle as a production team, we're handling what the director's created as boards for what we're going to shoot. And we get all of the calendars ready, like the calendar for the job, basically just that, just start that day.
A calendar like the game plan, who does what
Yeah,
when.
exactly. Yeah, like okay, and then we the next day, maybe we have a tech scout, which means the gaffer, the lighter, the director, the producer, some production assistants, and a few other people involved if they're needed. Go to the locations that they're looking at, like maybe they're looking at a few houses to shoot in, so they're driving around looking at those places, and then they have to book a location. And so we're just handling day-to-day things, and if we need to get ready, say like the last one I did was for it was for a track phone commercial or those phones. So we had to go buy certain like phones and then get the phone plans. Sometimes it's handling the director's needs, like giving a ride from the airport to the set to production to the office. So this is all like leading up to it. It's kind of just, managing it. And then we have the pre-production meeting, which is where we use those pre-pro books that you make. And the agency comes in and it's sort of like we're catering to the agency, a lot of show, get really nice food, get, in real plates. And then they talk about what they're going to do, really finalize everything. And then we have the shoot days. Maybe there's five in a row. And usually those are 14-hour days for production for us because we have to be there right at 6 a.m. maybe, and then we have to make sure everything's cleaned up and ready because we for renting a house from the for the day from the owner, we need to make sure it's clean. So and then we wrap the job and we get all the paperwork. Everyone who's been on the team, maybe there's 80 crew members, lighters, sound guy, everyone, assistants. We get all their time cards and then we have to make sure they get paid. And the nice thing is we get, they pay for our lunch and snacks and everything, and we kind of get to take care of ourselves. We get petty cash throughout these jobs, mileage for our driving. So it's kind of like they kind of own you because you work so many hours, but you kind of are taken care of, in that sense. And then,
By the way, could I ask, Because you work as a very sort of temporary contractor, right? It's just very short. Is everybody else in the same boat, or is it like they're the permanent people and then people like you who get brought in?
They're actually pretty much like me. And there are some people, they use the term permalance, where it's like they're not full time, they're not on, they don't get benefits, but they're the people they call a lot. So,
Gotcha.
yeah.
Okay, please continue.
And the, you know, there's some benefits about being in these production, being on the side of coordinating and producing, because there are some production companies that I've worked for regularly that they pay into your health benefits just because they're nice. So certain production companies do that, and it's a nice way to have benefits. Whereas as a private contractor in food styling, there's no union or anything, so there are no benefits involved. So it's kind of a nice way to be, you know, freelance and still be in the business, but be taken care of a little bit. And that's pretty much it. And then, you know, we wrap the job, and then, you know, some people I've worked with are really, you know, nuts and a little mean. And I'm like, all right, well, at least I know that I'm not going to work with them again. And then if I like the team and we get along, and they're like, all right, we have another one coming up in a few days, and there you go. And then we just keep going together, and it's kind of like this team of, we just come in and we go out, and you know,
Gotcha.
and yeah.
And how about the food styling? What's a typical food styling day? Like, how long are those gigs? Are they, I assume, one day or?
It's one day. Usually the longest I've ever done is 4 days. If we're on like a big, like McDonald's, you know, they usually spend a lot of money, and they can afford to. So they'll really take care to make sure we have everything, you know. Some teams are like, okay, it's going to be a 12-hour day, and we're going to do 20 shots. And that's a lot for us when we're food styling to prep it everything. So it's nice when you have these longer shoot time, like days, because I mean, these longer spans of days, because you're taken care of a little bit, and you know, treated like a little more balanced. So a typical day would be, you know, we get to set. It's sometimes like more like 7 a.m. And when your call time is 7 a.m., it's not like a call time for at least when I was in, you know, choir and music. A call time is like when you have to just start. You can't like show up and like get a coffee. You gotta go. So if you want to have a coffee, they serve breakfast and coffee, you know, half an hour before, and you have to just show up half an hour before. So you go and you hit the ground running, whether it's, okay, we're doing pizza commercials. So we get all the dough out, we get everything ready, and we have the shot list and the schedule that the director and the DP have
Could I
in.
ask a quick question in terms of the food
Yeah.
style? Like, are you the food stylist on a shoot, or are they like, okay, you get to deal with the tomatoes, and here, this is our bread person, and they're so, like, you know what I mean? Are you kind of the
It's
top
it
dog,
actually
and yeah.
I have been it I still assist, so when I assist, it's usually there's more of us, you know. But yeah, like when you're the last job I was on was Pizza Hut, and so I was the dough person. I was they designated me to do that because I like they're so organized, you know. But there are other teams I've been on where it's just like, find a job, just figure it out, jump in the fire, and it's a little crazy. But then other times I am the lead stylist, and that's really stressful too, but it's fun, and it's just so fun because you're just kind of problem solving and improvising as you go. And I personally, if food styling was consistent like every week, you know, which it's not, because I think there's just a lot of food stylists here in LA, that would be like a perfect, you know, situation, I think, because it's like you're always on your feet. You're constantly learning because you just, you know, and you're just meeting, you're working with people like literally in real time to problem solve and, you know, be flexible. But yeah, it's like, so typical day is like from, you know, for 6 hours, because then they have to feed us after 6 hours legally. So we're just, you know, following the schedule, going as fast as we can, because sometimes like, okay, we need another pizza. Okay, reset. The actor maybe took a bite out of the slice, and they need another perfect slice, so we have to be prepared for, you know, maybe resetting 100 times. Maybe the director's super crazy and wants, you know, some crazy angle. I don't know. And then if we go past our lunch break, then we get a penalty fee, so they pay us like $50, but we're starving, but we can't stop. But you know, then there's craft service, so we get snacks. And then if it's a 10-hour day, we'll know ahead of time if we're getting our our day rate on a 10-hour day or a 12-hour day. And then we go into overtime. And I mean, that's pretty much it. We're just kind of working together. Then we talk about life. We, you know, cause we're trying to, after things kind of calm down a little bit, we'll be sorting through the perfect tomato, like you said, or someone's looking for the, you know, we have to count the salami out that are nice with no holes in them. Cause this might be a close up shot, and we're just, this becomes mindless, but you still have to be focused, but you know, then we can kind of talk about each other's lives, you know, so it's kind of nice.
Course, once the cameras roll, at least once the director says that's good, your work is done.
Exactly. Yeah, we're done. Yeah. So it's fun. I mean, and I've met a lot of interesting people in this field, because everyone, at least a lot of people I know, are doing this, you know, to support themselves doing something they love or something else. So, yeah.
Very nice, because, yeah, you've alluded to this already, but I'd love you to go a little more into what is it about your career, I guess we should say careers, that you enjoy.
I like the, it's kind of a double-edged sword, because I love how unpredictable it can be, and how pleasantly surprised I can get. You know, oh, hey, are you available tomorrow? We have this really, you know, ice cream job or something. And I'm like, oh, that does sound fun. Okay. We have this really stressful thing. We need your help. And I actually like being called for, you know, when people think I can help them. So I like that, that I'm being sought out after. Mm-hmm. And I love it's such a rewarding feeling when you're done. When you've done a good job and you've succeeded in doing this crazy cheese pull on the pizza or something, and everyone's like, wow, you did it. Like, we did it together. Yeah. You're a team, and we'll call you on the next one. And it's just feels good to, I guess, you know, be a part of a team, and to, you know, I really do like that I can support myself, you know, and treat myself to, anything, you know, if I want to get I'm planning to get a songwriting vocal lesson this Saturday with someone I was referred to, just to, you know, brush up on my vocal chops. And it's like, I can afford that because I'm working, take trips and travel. You know, that's what I love about this career, that I can choose to take, you know, this whole month off if I want, and go to France if I really feel like that. You know, I think that's a great thing to do, and I can bring my guitar and just, you know, do that for fun, and you know, which I don't feel like a lot of my friends can do that, even that work in full-time music jobs. You know, so yeah, that's pretty much it. And I just love how I keep meeting new people all the time.
Very nice. Okay. Yeah. So, hey, let's take it back to 2010.
Mm-hmm.
Earlier, if you wish.
Yeah.
And I mean, there you are, about to get out of Berkeley, or getting out of Berkeley. guessing you weren't thinking food stylist? Could be
right.
Take it back as far as you want. I'm curious. I will admit, you are my first food stylist.
Yay!
One step at a time, kind of all the way from there, or even before there, to where you are now.
Okay. Well, I mean, I can just give a rough background that I grew up in Northern California in Berkeley, so the other Berkeley.
Yeah.
And I always loved cooking and experimenting, making things, you know, and making things with my hands, you know, and whether it was playing guitar or playing piano or cooking dough and, you know, whatever. And I've always been a singer. I've loved singing. My dad is a drummer. He's full time, you know, and I've grown up seeing that struggle. I grew up, my parents were divorced, and so I was with him part time through the week. And it was just, you know, he's happy and he's married now and everything is great. But I just have always had this desire to have a more stability, you know, and sort of reliable income, in terms of career and just, you know, seeing how I remember things he would say growing up, like, oh, the drum machine is, you know, it's taking away my jobs. And I get it, you know? And so I've always had that sort of forethought, I guess, about anything I'm doing, like, you know, trying to predict or see like some change going on where I should navigate it, you know? If so, I've thought of that, you know, in my career now. So anyways, I've
But
grew up
you
with
did go to
music.
Berkeley.
I did go to Berkeley, yes.
Yes.
Yeah. So anyways, I went to you know, I was in high school, I had some bands. I was like started songwriting and I just that's all I wanted to do is music. I felt like, you know, this is I'm gonna make it. So and be a songwriter. So then I went to Berkeley and I was thinking of doing film scoring, but then also, I didn't know if I wanted to do that so specific, like just didn't know if it was going to be classical music. So I remember going through kind of what I feel like we all go through in
Excuse me.
careers, but I was going through it in Berkeley. I was asking teachers almost like, what should I do here? You know, like I was thinking in terms of what would give me like stable income, but also give me joy, you know? And then, so then I always wanted to write for commercials and also my dad's side of the family has always been in film and his two brothers are directors. So I felt like great, like I'll have an in, I guess. Like I can work in film and do like commercial jingles. Easy. Like as if it was so easy. So when I graduated, I right before I graduated, I started to network like crazy with people in New York because that's where his brothers live and their film production company's there. And I, you know, networked with a lot of other people and I was just going to do some internships there and I did a
Okay, this is while you're at Berkeley, you said?
yeah, like my last semester and I was just I knew you know, I had a boyfriend while I was at Berkeley who he wasn't really sure what he was going to do after. He was thinking of just moving to LA and I didn't really feel like I had a secure sort of job coming, you know, and I also was going to be in debt, so I really was like, I need to do something that pays the bills. And I just didn't foresee being able to live at home in Berkeley, California, and do what I wanted to do. You know, I just didn't feel like that was a possible thing. So then I moved to New York, and I had been networking. My uncle said, you can, you know, come in and do some production assisting work, you know, be a runner and just to, you know, get some money. And I worked at a restaurant. And then I interned at a few different places there for free in New York my first year because I was just working constantly. And then I would do some free days at this recording studio. So I was writing for commercials at this place called The Lodge. And then
You said free days, so unpaid writing.
free, like they were unpaid. And I did that one for 3 months. And then they were like, we could hire you, but only $8 an hour. I was like, oh, can't do that. You know, so it's kind of frustrating. It's like I had an in, but you know, it's like no one could pay me what I needed to get paid to live in New York and pay loans and eat. So then I went to this other internship and then kind of like did that for like a month. And I realized, you know,
I'm sorry,
it's just,
another internship, another like music
yeah, another
thing.
internship called Mophonics, which is a similar thing. And, you know, I just felt like I was doing stuff like getting them, you know, getting them lunch. And then I'd write a little bit on a commercial they just let me write on. And it just wasn't feeling like very quick enough for me. Like I was like, I need to get in this because I was living on my own completely. When I moved away from high school, when I graduated high school and went to Berkeley, I mean, I pretty much supported myself from then on. I worked in while I was in college at Starbucks at Berkeley, and then I was usher at the BPC for a bit, and then I worked at this gelato place that's no longer there, you know. And then I was on loan, so I did have a little help from family in the very beginning. But it was always a thing to me from right when I went to Berkeley that I always had to be on a budget. I always was thinking like, how am I going to pay my next semester? So unfortunately, I feel like I kind of rushed through Berkeley. I finished it in 3 years. I did the 2 summers and then fall, spring, summer, because I knew I looked ahead, did research, and I knew it was cheaper by like, you know, some thousands. But to me, it was everything.
Sure.
And I got some, I was on scholarship, but not completely. And then the last two semesters, I think it was, I got a little bit more, cause I applied for MAS, MAS. I don't know if that's still there, but it's like a, it was just to like have a scholarship increase. And I had a lot of fun there. I mean, I did the, no, it's no longer happening because unfortunately the professor passed away, but his name was Mirek Kondrickal, and he did the Pop Rock Live shows in the spring.
Okay.
So I was, and he, you know, I applied for that as one of my songs, and he chose it. And I think it was like one of, I was one of 10 songwriters, you know, that got to perform. So that it was great. I had a band there, and we, you know, played all around Boston. TT the Bears and Alasia.
Very nice.
Yeah, so
Those
it
are
was, yeah, I had a lot of fun there. But
But here
like,
you are, then it's
yeah.
what, the fall of
Yeah.
2010, and
Yeah.
just these little internships that aren't paying much and seem not to be
Yeah.
leading anywhere.
Yeah. So then I've graduated. I'm in New York, and you know, it was tough because I felt like a lot of my friends moved to LA and I was just in New York, but I knew that like I needed to, you know, build a life and just do it. So I performed a little bit in New York. I would start little projects with people, and then I did some top line writing for some guys that I met. Like I went to all these networking events there. There's this network called Manhattan Producers Alliance that I just met someone for coffee one day, and then they introduced me to this networking thing. And then there's also Women in Music. So I went out a lot to just be involved and be networking and meet people. And, I befriended a composer who I worked with and in New York, and I sang on some, tracks for him on a soundtrack that's on Netflix now. And, that was really cool. But, you know, I was only paid $50 for the session. So I was like, okay, I clearly like, you know, I knew I was like, I gotta keep working. And you know, throughout this whole time, I developed this career as a food stylist and in production also. And
Yeah,
I was living it.
how did that happen?
Well, I the so I lived in New York for 4 years after graduating, and as a PA, you know, I've worked with my uncle, and they happened to be
Production
work,
assistant.
yeah, production assistant, and they were directors at a tabletop commercial company, which is a food company. So I really had an in with my uncle. And then I branched out. I started to work with other people and other food stylists and more in magazines to get that background and assisting. And I became full-time food.
Oh, okay. So was it like he put in the good word, or was it just once you had a portfolio you started reaching out?
No, it's like once I felt like I had enough experience, I started reaching out to people. Yeah. I didn't have a portfolio yet because I was just assisting there,
Sure.
which is still a good money. But and interestingly, you know, some might say, oh wow, like you had it easy, like you had a foot in the door. And yes, I did, but a lot of people wouldn't actually hire me, and they still don't, because of who he is in the company, like in the industry. There's a lot of competition. So if there's another director I work with here in LA that hears that I'm related to him, they say, oh, I don't want her on the team because there's like competition or something. So
Ouch.
so, you know, that's also an interesting thing. And I know that can happen in any industry. But it's, you know, it's been kind of like constantly, you got to constantly prove yourself. And so, yeah, that's what I did in New York for 4 years.
Could I ask
So, yeah.
just a quick question?
Yeah.
I mean, it sounds like you were trying to do the music and it just wasn't, giving you what you needed financially. In
Yeah,
terms of a
it wasn't.
career, I'm curious, like, was there a moment when you just said, okay, well, this isn't working, I'm going to just focus on this other thing? Like, was there a conscious choice, or what was going through your head as you moved away? Or did you just find yourself doing more and more, and suddenly you're like, oh, I guess I'm not in music anymore?
Yeah, it's kind of the latter. And I mean, to be honest, to this day, it's still a little bit like I wonder sometimes, you know. I try to figure out, like, you know, it's a daily thing, honestly. Like some days I'm just like, okay, like I feel pretty good about, where I'm at, but there's some days, like I remember that at that point early on, I was doing a lot more music when I was living in New York, I think, because I just think also I was so recently that I graduated, so I was just more involved in general, and it was, primary focus. But I think when I moved here 2 years ago, it was really to connect, reconnect with Berkeley grads that I was friends with that moved here, and to just be, closer to home up north. I can just drive 6 hours now.
I was going to ask about the move because often when you're a freelancer, it can take so long to get established and build up
I
the
know.
clientele and all that. It's
Yeah.
very brave to move away
Yeah.
from all that.
Well, I mean, that's the thing. I realized, like, I paid off all, so that what I haven't, so my LA experience has been also, it's been a whole new thing where I wanted to come here and just, start over kind of in a way. And just also in New York, I felt like everyone knows that I'm related to my uncle there, the director, and I just want to come here with the knowledge I've gained from my experience in New York and just, become my own completely, which now I realize people know my uncle, so whatever.
But
But,
quick flashback to as you were leaving New York, it sounds like you'd gotten pretty established in getting a lot of work and
I
basically
did, yeah.
freelance full time when you were still in New
Yeah.
York.
I lived alone in a studio apartment on the Upper East Side. I had a, like, my life was pretty, it was nice. I got established, yeah. But I really felt like the urge to be closer to home eventually, and I felt like now I was 25 when I made the move, and I felt like the older I get, I know it's just going to be harder.
Right.
So I've made that move, and being a freelancer, yeah, I remember I spent like a week just making calls before moving. And I also jumped to the opportunity because an acquaintance who I don't really, we just kind of lost touch, but she was someone I knew in New York, and she ended up moving to LA a few months after we met. And she said, "Oh, I have an available room if you want to make the move," because she knew I was thinking about it. And I said, "Oh, wow, I've never even bought a car before. I'm gonna have to buy a car. I still have loans. How am I gonna do this?" But I felt like, now or never, and I saved up a good amount, and I paid for everything to be shipped over. I sold a lot of things. I brought all my guitars, my keyboard. And it was such a liberating experience to make that move. And so I was calling, I started emailing everyone I could, that I met in New York, who is a food stylist who is from LA, because a lot of them travel to LA, to New York to do jobs. And I said, "Look, I'll even PA again." I started from the bottom. I said, "I'll take those entry-level jobs. I'll do coffee runs. I'll take the trash out when I'm in LA." I knew what I was going to get myself into, because I just felt like, this is what you have to do, And I got work like right away. Within 2 weeks of arriving, I started working every week. And it was just like I said, I met one person and then I met another person, and I was willing to take those low paying jobs. And I moved up very quickly. Like I said, within a month I was working at for Apple, and then I was then I then I got a full time job. I actually was always very curious about working in advertising, so I got a full time job actually at this really well known ad agency in LA called 72 and Sunny, and they were voted ad agency of the year this year.
I'm sorry.
They're
Was this a full-time job like doing commercial production, or was it?
this was a marketing content coordinator. So I was
Okay.
doing they actually liked my resume that I had music background, and they also liked that I dabbled in post production within just a few months of moving to LA. And this is a person I met from someone I met in New York, and I just happened to get coffee with the guy, and he said, "Oh, my company, 72 and Sunny, is looking for someone. I like your, you seem really nice. You seem full of energy," this kind of thing. And I was like, "Thanks, okay." And I had just moved to LA 6 months before that, and I, dabbled in some post-production just because of people I met. So I was doing visual effects. I was working with editors in audio and video. And so so I got this full-time job. It was my first time ever having a full-time job. And they had benefits, and I was really proud. I was like, "Wow, I'm working, we represent Google, Starbucks, Target," like really. And I always was curious about it. So I was really kind of proud of myself for getting this job and trying it out. But I knew pretty quickly on that the 9 to 5 kind of, and maybe it was just the atmosphere, but it to me it felt kind of fake. I knew I was almost trying to make it work for me because I knew how cool of an opportunity this was, but I felt sort of like I was, you know, I went through 10 interviews to get this job there. Like they're very, very selective. I felt, you know, so honored, you know, so I was like, once I started to feel sort of bored or, you know, I realized my freelance lifestyle, I kind of missed it. I missed that, you know, being on a salary, I realized, wow, I can't get any higher than this. You know, it's nice to know where I'm working every day and that I have a paycheck coming in, but I felt sort of stuck, you know. So after 8 months, I realized, you know, and I was doing, you know, office work. But also they liked that so we did these videos too. So I was working in making agency reels to promote our agency. So I was helping choose the songs. I was helping, and they knew I had an audio editing background. So I was like, oh, that mix is too hot, you know, or I'd do some voiceover reading for them just for scratch vocals. And I met some really cool people. I was in a reggae band at one point with someone through there.
Oh, fun.
Yeah, so it was a great experience, and then it didn't work out. I was really starting to lose. I really wanted to quit, but my dad was recommending try to just get laid off to get a severance. And I didn't slack off or anything. I think they could tell that I was really not into it. And then there came the day where they, you know, sat me down. And I said, yeah, you know, I really appreciate, you know, everything, but yeah, I think it's not a good fit. And they were like, all right, well, here's a 2 week severance. And I was like, okay, thanks. And it was a really nice ending.
Cool.
So yeah. And I'm still in touch with some people from there. And, but
And
then,
from there, you
yeah,
just picked right back up with the freelancing.
I did. And after that was last a year ago, this October, a year ago from this past October. So, I hadn't been, you know, I had been getting calls while I was at that full-time job to do food styling, and I was really always sad to turn them down because they sounded so fun compared to what I was doing there. You know, like, oh, we need someone in New York for 6 days. It's 650 a day for 10-hour days. Can you do it? And I was like, and you know, and you'll get paid for your travel days, and it's all paid for. And I was like, oh, wish I could, you know. So things like that where I felt like, you know, obviously you can't just leave a job. So I was kind of relieved. I was really relieved when I was Dover. But yeah, so I picked up pretty much a couple weeks after that. And right when I got, when it ended though, I was really getting like towards the end of that, my time there, I was really, trying to get back into getting a music career here, you know, 'cause I felt like I moved here for that, but I never actually tried it 'cause I was just, you know, starting my career here as a food stylist and production again. And then I got this agency job. So I was kind of all over the place, but I felt like I got a lot of experience from these jobs that, you know, it would not be so crazy if I just gave it a month or two of music, before I decided to get back into food styling. You know, I just felt like I'll give myself a break. I've worked really hard for this. So then I was working in some bands. I did this cover band for a bit. And then, you know, I let people know I was available to food style again, just to let them know, but I wasn't hungry for the work. You know, I was able to support myself. So I was giving it to myself, you know, this time off. And then I started getting calls to food style, but they were not too frequent where I felt like I was full time again. So it was nice. And I started working with people again, and I felt so happy. Like once I did that, got into food selling again, I was just like, just the people, you know, I was like, oh, that agency was kind of stuffy, you know, so it was kind of fun. And I just missed being on set where like you can wear whatever you want. You just got to be comfortable. And, you know, it was great. So it was, you know, it was kind of a crazy, you know, I don't know if it's crazy, but it was just I feel like I've done a lot of different careers and I'm grateful that I've been able to try them all. And that job has led me to a lot of other, you know, every job I say is like just word of mouth. Like, you know, some people from the agency were like, oh, like I know some agencies looking for someone like you. Like if you want to get back into agency life. And I was just like, no, thanks. But you know, I'm glad I tried it. And you know, I thought like, wow, I have a Berklee College of Music degree and and I didn't think I would be able to get other kinds of jobs. Like, they looked at my resume and they were like, wow, like, that's cool. You went to music school. And I think it helps that I had other experience in advertising, whether because of commercial production. And I wasn't, when I, and I learned how to write my resume for specific jobs, like,
Sure.
when I was like food styling, but I'm applying to an ad agency, so I'm gonna say it more like a food, advertising producer, culinary producer. And I definitely was doing a lot of accounting and managing on my teams when I still do food styling, but I do that. So I learned how to translate it into words that, show off my skills in a different role.
Sure.
So that's what I've learned from that kind of world. And yes, yeah, so then I've ever since last October I've been freelancing again, and I feel like that's really when I started a full-time freelance in LA, because when I first got here I was, that agency thing kind of was always looming. It was that referral from New York, so I felt
Yeah.
like that was kind of my full-time thing. So now, yeah, I mean, I'm getting calls every day to, either food styling or production, help in the office, or coordinating. So I mean, I feel it's great.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
That's terrific. All right. Well, let's move on to the third part of the interview of
Okay.
three. So, my first question, it sounds you talked about some of this in your history, but thinking kind of about the present moment, what, if anything, is your current relationship with music?
I always feel like that's always kind of something I think about. But I would say I am willing to do music for free. So in a sense, I feel very free about it. Like, I've taken the pressure away from trying to make it a living, and it's become, when I do that, I feel like happier about it. So for example, right now I'm writing a theme song for a podcast of a friend I know, who she's trying to win her visa, and so her podcast is about aliens with visas, and it's very interesting. So I'm writing a theme song for that, and I'm doing it for free because I want to help her out, and it's a passion project, and I feel like I can actually be passionate about this art that I love writing. So yeah, I mean, I'll just, when I have time off, I'll just sit down and I'll write songs. And I have a gig on Monday that's, I'll get paid if I bring X amount of people, but if I don't bring that amount of people, I'm not penalized. So again, I'm just choosing scenarios where there's really no pressure, and I'm not trying to really, because marketing, I know how to do marketing, but it's, I feel like it's a lot of times they want you to basically pay to play or bring 40 people before you start making money. And so my relationship is just, that, I guess.
Sure. You're still involved, just not
Yeah.
doing like stuff, not making a focus of earning money.
Yeah. And, there are some days, to be honest, where I still feel a little bit like, oh, and I'm not closing the door to it at all. I'm just like, I've thought of maybe just, how could I have, if I wanted to really try to focus on making it a career, I've done this, my production work, for so long that I've actually been able to make a good amount of savings that I feel like I could, as a freelancer, I'm so good with managing my time and my money that I could say, okay, I'm going to take 3 weeks off of working, maybe just take a few jobs if they're really, a few days long. And then just really just write, or try to go on a little self-created tour. I feel like I've gotten a lot of freedom, whereas maybe if I was making my money only from teaching, or and I was just getting by, just teaching voice lessons, and then maybe two of my clients stopped taking voice lessons, I'd be so desperate and I'd have to find another job. Or I think
Right.
about these scenarios that I feel very grateful that I've worked so hard for this flexibility, but it isn't a matter of, sometimes I think, okay, well, check out Nashville now and, you know, do that. And all these cities have production. So I've always, you know, I always, whenever I meet someone who's in a big music city in film, I always save their number and I'm just like, you know, if I have anything, I can just go visit for a month. And if there's work, I'll pick up a job for a week or, you know.
Sure.
And then I've met some directors in England who have come here. I've become really good friends with this one director. He also does music videos and he always wants to hear what I'm writing. And he's always said if I come visit, like he's done for Katie Tunstall, he's heard, done some videos for her and he's a commercial director. But it's just cool to make these relationships with people all over the world. So I sometimes have this fantasy of like, I'll just go travel to all these places and I'll perform and they'll all know some bars they can recommend that I can just play in. And that sounds like a fun thing to do because I can do it, you know, financially. So yeah.
That's great. Okay, so hey, thinking back to your Berkeley education and what you're doing now for work, right? The production assisting and the food styling. I see Berkeley gives that Bachelor of Music degree. But, you know, is there anything that you feel that your Berkeley education did particularly well to prepare you for what you're doing now?
I guess it would be something along the lines of managing my projects, you know, with deadlines. I remember having so many different classes and having to always be doing homework or always getting ready, and being serious, you know, taking it seriously. Having to really show up. Your teachers don't, especially with the performance classes I had, like there's no slack, you know, it's clear if you're not ready or you're not prepared that you didn't do your homework. And same thing for food styling or, you know, if I show up on set and I, you know, didn't, you know, do my homework in terms of like getting enough rest or, you know, knowing everyone's name on the crew or being alert throughout the day and knowing what's going on. It's just not acceptable. So I guess Berkeley helped me kind of get buttoned up and, also being open and meeting new people there from all over the world was such a great preparation for New York and LA and just, you know, meeting people in all kinds of jobs I've had. I just feel like that was the first time I really felt like I was in an international experience. And, you know, and also like this interview itself, like hearing about when I was there, like everyone had a different relationship with music, you know. So I knew some people that kind of dropped out kind of before they finished. And some one guy went to veterinarian school. And I just thought it was just so interesting. And I was like, well, this is life, you know, this is it. I don't know. It was just my first experience. I felt really like, you know, we're adults now, but like change is okay. And it's okay if, you know, we change our minds, you know? So that's kind of what I've been dealing with here too, you know, changing careers or, it's never too late, I think, to do anything. So.
Yeah, if I recall earlier, you mentioned something about networking as well. Can you go into sort of how do you feel that Berkeley honed your networking skills or?
Well, especially when I had like my band, I had to be the manager and get us bookings. I had to coordinate, make sure I had a drummer. I had two different bands throughout the 3 years I was there. So the first band I had, I was more just friends I made in classes or in my dorms. And then the other band, I was a little more like selective. And I found these musicians that were through friends, but I did more research and that was networking in a sense. Like, I also, you know, yeah, like getting gigs and then putting together the band, that was huge. I had keyboard player, I had a drummer, I had a lead guitarist and a backup singer and a bassist. And, you know, I was always looking for the best players. And then I got referred to, you know, my bass player by someone I reached out to on Facebook, you know, and then, networking with venues, and finding the right, you know, openings that my players, we could all play in. And then I did some Berkeley Cafe 939, I think it was.
Yeah.
Yeah, I played there and I networked with through my job as an usher. Like, obviously we're all musicians, and I made friends with this guy who needed an opening act for his show there, and that's where we opened. And it was great, like, to have all these people that we all support each other.
Very nice.
Yeah.
All right,
But yeah,
so
I definitely think it helped, like, that was the beginning of all that for me here too. It's like networking with people, like, hey, I need someone to fill in, can you do that? And it just snowballs into more opportunity.
All right, well, hey, let's turn that question around now.
Mm-hmm.
Because, again, of course, Berkeley gives that 1 degree of bachelor's in music. But when you look back at your Berkeley education, is there anything where you say, in light of what you're doing now, it would have been really helpful to have learned this at Berkeley, and they could have taught it to me, and they didn't? Yeah, anything missing or. Not done adequately.
Well, I guess sort of if there was some kind of what your this interview thing is great. I think if there were even people that came in that were alumni that in person would come into class, like, maybe the last year, like second to last semester, of maybe, I don't know what class it would be, but some sort of a maybe networking preparation or career preparation course. And people, I feel like it would have been great if there was something like this where, we got to ask questions and they were like, yeah, I was a Berkeley grad, but, and the story is like similar to mine or something. We're like, yeah, I wanted it to be full-time music, but, reality hits. Like, I just didn't think I was prepared for how to pay my loans off and do this career full time as a musician and know even where to do it. When I moved to New
If
York,
I'm hearing you correctly, it sounds like you're talking about like career guidance, both in and out of music.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. And sort of, yeah, preparing like how to budget, okay, like if this is how much you're making a month, and I mean, that's, or like options, like where do you guys recommend I move if I want to do this kind of music? Or, and then what's the network like there, so, cost of living and all that stuff.
Sure. So really kind of preparing you for life after Berkeley.
Yeah, and then even like how to keep the door open if you want to go back to school, like make sure that your grades are this high, or oh, if you want to go back to school and be, something else, like, I don't know, just kind of keeping the options open, because I was so dead set on just being in music that I think the shock was a little sad. I thought at first I was just like, oh, I thought this would be so easy. I thought I would be discovered here at Berkeley. I didn't, things like that. And I remember those moments while I was at Berkeley, evolving and like thinking, okay, well, I guess I'm graduating, but that's still good. I just thought I would be discovered by then and out. I think everyone's, my bubble, my little bubble burst. Oh, but I feel like a lot of people go through that, and yeah.
I think there are a lot of hidden gems in music for every discovered gem.
Yes.
Okay, so, hey, nevertheless, as you say, you thought you'd be in music, it didn't happen. You did have that family connection that sort of got you started on this, and then obviously you did a whole lot of work and hustling yourself to make it happen. And, so your path was relatively direct. You did that segue into working for, the 9 to 5 at a marketing firm, decided it wasn't for you, back to freelance. I'm sure you're aware that there are other recent Berkeley grads who have not yet found that path. Right? They haven't found what they're gonna do. Things aren't working out yet. Imagine if you'd been in music and you didn't have the family doing this. Right? So, like, in addition to them, there are, as you say, people in their final year at Berkeley starting to sense like, oh my God, the real world's coming up, what I do. So like for either or both of those groups, do you have any advice?
Well, I mean, if there are people like, I would be willing to, if these people, I mean, I guess what it is like two things. If they have any interests other than music and they can consider those as options, and research them, like what it may be they're interested in film or, another, but see, I didn't even really think of it as a film career yet, but I would say, what other interests do you have in addition? And then, if there is this network that is being offered, like I'm happy to be of service if they want to call me and they're interested. I think just having another network of these non-music careers that they're interested in, of alumni they can reach out to and network. I just think, networking is the main thing. But it's like, I remember how far I stretched my networking. I would call someone who said that they knew someone who knew someone who knew someone, and I would just call those people and get to that person and or email and say, hey, I know we've never met, but develop those people skills and don't be afraid to try to just ask. And it's like the worst that happens is they just don't call you back, and you try again in a month or and then maybe just forget about it because they just never call. But that's, I don't know, I just think there's that. Give yourself the options, the other option of if teaching doesn't work out right away, or if being a performer isn't paying the bills because you like, I just know there's some people who couldn't afford to even consider being a performer because they were paying for school completely on their own, and that's a real thing. And so I just think they're gonna need to, some people need to find a career within 6 months because then your loans start kicking in. And that was for me what I my pr the pressure for me was that it was just a time issue. But in a sense, I'm actually very grateful I learned how to survive, like, just, and I'm grateful I had that foot in the door. But it taught me about responsibility very early on. Like, okay, in 6 months, I have to start paying my bills, and my rent and food. So it gave me a structure in a sense that like I had to be on a path, So yeah, I guess, I know an alum who's still in music, but he, when he first moved to LA, he worked at the Cheesecake Factory full time, and he got transferred there from the Boston one when he was at school there in Berkeley. So he was working full time and he was making money, but it was just like, he's like, I didn't move here to do this, And then he now works at Universal and he's, doing music. But I guess also just patience. Like, it's not going to happen overnight for most of us to just get a music job right out of music school, that pays the bills. So yeah, I mean, that would be my advice, is network, like,
Okay.
no matter how far they're stretched as a contact. Use LinkedIn, Facebook, all that.
And hey, just to sort of zoom in a little bit, because I think I met your something like my 62nd or 63rd interview, and as I'm sure you can imagine, few people are going to listen to all 62. Right? So you're going to be going in there, probably under production assistant and food stylist. Is that not?
Or I mean, even film production, I would say,
Film
because I'm not.
production. And point is, the people who listen to this interview are the ones who are clicking that link, right? Ones who are, including even some who might be interested in that as a potential career. So for folks who think that like either one of those is like a really cool thing, and hey, this would seriously be interesting to get into, do you have any specific advice for them beyond what you've already said?
I would do research. I would do research ab about how the film industry works, how, like, the if you want to do film, or food styling, anything that involves being on set or in production, learn about, like, everyone's role in there, and you can learn. There's so many different paths you can take within it. Like if you want to become a director or a storyboard artist or a script writer or a script supervisor or the sound guy, that's technically audio, art department. There's all these different roles that are pretty fun. You can do makeup artist, and they're all, everyone's, you know, I would just, you know, do that research and kind of figure out what you want to do.
All right, so you're not just saying I want to work at TV, you pinpoint.
Yeah, I mean, I would say try, like, get in a, you definitely have to start as a PA. That's what I would say. You have to start as a production assistant no matter what, just to get your foot in the door. And I would say, but start researching other, you know, the roles that you could have, so that when you go in, you have an intention and you meet those people specifically and you network, you know, ask all the questions you can about those people's paths. And so you can understand, you know, maybe that makeup artist started as an assistant and this is who she worked with. And then, so you can start calling those people. And you know, you have to start sometimes, you know, at a half rate if, you know, just to get in, on a job, and but it will pay off. I mean, I feel like every job I've taken, they just, if you work hard and you show that you care and you're always, you know, you have to be alert in this industry, and you can't just, like, you know, be thinking about something else. You have to be present, kind of like playing music, you know, you have to be there. So, that's what my advice is, and yeah.
All right. That's great. Yeah,
but you don't have to go to film school. Just have to say that, you know, you can apprentice or, you know, just PA and learn. I mean, a lot of these guys that never went to film school. So even directors, I know that they didn't go to film school.
Gotcha.
So, yeah.
Okay. Hey, just have one last question for you.
Okay.
Which is, you have the mic and you're being recorded. So, is there anything else you'd like to say? Anything we missed?
Not really. I mean, I'm really glad that we got to do this. It's something I've been thinking about for quite a while, like thinking, oh, it'd be nice if Berklee had this sort of alumni program that was for people that weren't necessarily in music and sort of, yeah, I mean, that's, I don't have much else to say.
You've been very thorough for over an hour here, so I can't fault you. And I said, I hope, you know, this project is sort of keeping it pretty quiet as we, you know, once, as the number of interviews was small, because it's like, well, I've spoken with 8 people. But, actually, can you hold on for just one sec? Sorry, hold on.
Sure.
One sec.
Yeah.
Sorry about that. There was just a
That's
knock
okay.
on my door.
Okay.
But it's all set. It's just a... So, anyway, I was just saying that, you know, when the number of interviews was especially south of 30, it was pretty much my project with hopes for the future. And as we started closing in on 50, I started going more, quote, public with this at Berklee, doing the first presentations. And, you know, a year from now, we'll be at 100 in the more we are, the better resource this is going to be for everybody.
Yeah, it's great.
And I mean, I think you're my third, you're either my second or third person in the, you know, third. I take that back, fourth. And sort of, I put a TV, radio, film.
Oh, okay.
Doing that. Cool. So gradually you're, you know, fleshing out all the different areas that people are working in and providing that resource for. Berklee.
I think that's great, Kevin.
Well, I really appreciate, I'm always especially tickled pink when I chat with someone who's doing something new.
Yeah.
Putting out the library. So thank you very much for being part of this.
You're welcome.
All right. So, hey.
And yeah, Kevin, I was just wondering what the link to listen to everyone else's, because I can't find it now. What is the link to find everyone's interview?
You should interview? Be able to see it. You try it right now. It's just 3 words, no spaces, no underscores, nothing. Other Berklee grads Dot com.
Okay.
Are you on your machine right now? Is it coming up?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Cool Biops Osmosis.
Oh, that's my blog. Yeah.
Oh,
So
okay.
I do it there, and then once this got big enough, I just, registered that domain to bounce people to then my
Okay.
blog, which has that. But you should see a big index that's both by career and field and by year of graduation.
Yeah, I see. Yeah. Other successful Berkeley grads. Yeah. Very cool. Okay.
Right, yeah, you could peruse. I know that there is, I think her name's Priya Prinz. She's working in Hollywood as like a costuming assistant
Oh, cool. Very nice.
with studios.
Yeah, I mean, that's also what's cool about this to me is that it's like another sort of networking within these other sub industries that we're in for each
Exactly.
other. Yeah.
Exactly. So,
Cool.
all right. Well, hey, enjoy that. And yeah,
Thank
look
you.
for a message from me in the very near future.
Okay. Thanks,
Sounds
Kevin.
great. Great chatting today.
You too. Thanks. Bye.